Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, I wonder what you have taken from that fascinating interview with Christine. So if you would like to find out more about Christine and her travels and her work and her light work and all the other things that she does, then you can just go to her website, which is as follows. It's 0800, so www.0800, and then the number 2, and then the letter B. So it's 0800 2B, and then well, W-E-L-L, .co.nz. So it's 0800 2B well.co.nz. And although she did not make a big song and dance about it, she's been really active in both politics, in being on the road with Sue Gray, speaking out for freedom and for getting the New Zealand government back to its roots, and also with organizing her local gardening group. And although she professed herself as having no green fingers whatsoever, she did say that she was organizing that group. And, you know, it's people like that who keep our communities going, isn't it? People that give their time for no fee, who are just part of the fabric, the warp and the weft of local community life. And that was why I wanted to chat with her, because of all that she gave. But what an interesting life story, and such a traveler, such a free spirit, traveling for 30 years across the Americas and then returning back to New Zealand and linking in with various healing groups within New Zealand. Of course, with my love of history, I couldn't let the opportunity go by as she started to share the 8 generations of her family, dating right back to 1814, coming over from Scotland. Her ancestor was the captain of the ship that Samuel Marsden was on. Goodness me, there's a whole history lesson in that interview, probably several, actually. And so we delved deep into that, didn't we? And even those Kiwis who have multiple ancestral roots and strands in their background, it's often only the Maori history that either gets emphasized or indeed is able to be tracked. And once again, we come up against with the sad truth that many in Western cultures have lost our history. We've lost our roots going back for many generations. And how wonderful to have a granddad like she had, who was able to research the family line going all the way back. And that before the internet, did you notice that? Where even the cost of a stamp had to be budgeted for. What a precious, delicate, and determined journey that was. What a true historian. I feel a fraud when I say I'm interested in history and have not done that for my own family. I wonder how you feel about that with your family if you don't track back. And even those families that can track their histories back through the indigenous culture of the Maori, isn't it a shame we can't find all the other roots so well? The multiple roots that we all have. And I think I've shared before how resonant the Maori saying that if you don't know where you come from, you don't know who you are. And I do wonder how much of our communal angst or stress or tension is in many ways because over the last couple of centuries, Western civilization has largely created an environment where it's extraordinarily hard, despite the records, that our families and our roots have been decimated. And I've said several times on this program that I envy that deep connection with the soil and with family and with community that we see. We also have, you know, broken traditions in all societies, indigenous or otherwise. In that sense, we're all travelers through time and we're all shaped by what has gone before. And although I say that's because of my interest in history, it's really 50-50 because I find that in my psychotherapy work, finding out where our roots are from are so important. And tracking back the influences on our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, very often we can see patterns emerging, patterns of beliefs, patterns of behavior, patterns of emotional expression. And sometimes that history is silent for a reason. In other words, the absence of history for our families is often the evidence of some kind of trauma. So I've learned to respect the absence of a story just as much as the past story. And we like to believe we're free spirits and we're creating our own life. And of course, that's true. But we cannot deny the influence of the past upon how we operate in our lives today. A traumatized grandparent, traumatized by war or incarceration or plague or poverty, that grandparent, as a parent, is unable to bring up their child in the way they want. They're absent. They're lost in their trauma often, like shell shock after the First World War. And that child then grows up with a sense of loss and something missing, an absence, and a shadow of trauma hanging over, unspoken, undealt with, unprocessed, just frozen and locked in the body of the parent. So the child grows up carrying the influence of that frozen shadow of the parent. We don't need genetics to understand this. I don't understand why we should be talking about genetics. It's quite obvious in the way the trauma travels through the generations. And then that child grows up with that shadow. And it means that when it comes to the time for them to be a parent, they've got no modeling. They've got no habitual, ingrained, embodied instinct or pattern. Well, they do have instinct, but they haven't got a handed down pattern of behavior with children. So their children also experience some of that loss, probably not so intensely, but it's carried there. And so when they become parents, they're also at a loss as to instinctively how to parent. And of course, all theory like this, I'm talking psychological theory, I'm talking about intergenerational trauma. The real truth is all trauma and all theory about trauma and psychotherapy is autobiographical. I just told you the story of my family. And so what we're talking about here is the power of being rooted, not just because, oh, it must be wonderful, but also because we can track back the trauma. We can understand where our problems may have originated. And you know what? So many problems actually have nothing to do with us, and yet we carry them in our bodies. And this explains why some people can cope with some situations and some of us can't. And when we discover that it's not just who we are, but it's what happened to us, how we learned to be who we are from our parents, and how they learned to be who they are from their parents, and so on and so forth, back through time, as we start to discover that these are not our concerns, we can start to find ways to let them go, to, in a sense, hand them back to the place where they belong, handing them back to those past generations. There's a beautiful system of therapy called family constellations. And it's a very creative way. If you ever get the chance to do a family constellations weekend, grab it with both hands. It's a beautiful, highly intuitive way in which to unpack and hand back to the past generations what belongs to them and what belongs to their time, and not carry it on our shoulders like a burden anymore. Releasing back to the past what belongs to the past is a powerful process. And I suppose what I'm talking about with you here is sometimes just understanding, you know, it might or not be me. I'm a great one for taking responsibility for our stuff, for our behavior, for our emotions and our expression of emotions. We must all do that. It's in our charge. But I'm also a great advocate of recognizing when, in fact, what we're dealing with is a hot potato that has been thrown from one generation to another, overwhelmed, unable to deal with it. That hot potato gets thrown and caught by each generation. So when we realize all it is a hot potato that we're holding, and we know where it comes from, just the awareness itself can often enable us to take a deep sigh and relief, a breath of relief. So, oh, there was me thinking there was something really, really wrong with me. And in fact, it was just five generations of trauma being passed down. Just as slightly in inverted commas. But as we grow and as we grow older and we experience more and we begin to see these patterns, we can also look back in time and say, where did these things come from? And do I really need to carry the weight of them on my shoulders anymore? Maybe it's time to say, you know what? That was all tough for them. And I'm sure they wouldn't want me to carry it on my shoulders. Well, I wasn't expecting to reflect on that. So we're just getting started on my reflections. But it is important to understand sometimes that it's not just us. And yes, that does mean that we sometimes need to look backwards, to look back into the past. Now, it's a great criticism of any form of psychotherapy that we spend all our time blaming the past, living in the past, and using the past as a crutch to excuse our failures in the moment in our daily life. That's not psychotherapy. That's just whinging. By looking back into the past, I'm not advocating that we get stuck in the past. But, you know, in my experience, when we're really stuck, it's only by going back into the past, that we can become clear about what it is we're carrying. And only when we know what it is we're carrying, can we then effectively release it. And only when we've released it, can we move forward. You know, pretending that everything is only about our behavior now is, frankly, delusional, and to some extent, quite cowardly. It's like digging our heads in the sand, trying to deny the roots of our family, our history. Where we belong also carries with it some of the wounds and the pain of history in the past. In my view, I think it's harder to meet the pains we are carrying from the past than to climb the summit of the highest mountain. I think it takes more guts to walk through the doorway and face the demons of the past than to take in any outdoor challenge. The way I think of my clients is that the clients that step through the door into my therapy room just stepped into the fire of the pains of the past. And what we know about fire is that it purifies us all. For me, this is the activity of warriors, not wimps. And to just reflect and to give ourselves a little break from the heaviness of the past and the wounds that are transferred through the generations, let's take a little break in these reflections and listen to the amazing group Nero with their wonderful and beautiful track of music called Into the Past. Quite appropriate, don't you think? You've just been listening to Nero, Into the Past. And this is Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair. My name is Jerry Pives. And I'm reflecting upon the fascinating session that I've just had with Christine Carter. So let us now focus in on what is really the purpose of these programs, which is to understand how we deal with stress and trauma. I noticed three different particular methods that Christine uses that I'd like to talk about a bit more. And the first one was just her sheer bloody positivity. She described this beautifully when she talked about how she became pregnant with her two children as twins, and she had been planning on traveling, and suddenly she's got two beautiful children to look after. What a gift, but also what a challenge to her life plan. And how often do we have a plan, even for the next hour or the next day, and then something crops up? For me, there's nothing more scary than the human being that is sticking to such a rigid schedule that there's kind of no room for the surprises of everyday life. And although Christine said that she laughed now at the idea of being positive and setting goals, she also demonstrated how powerful that can be to help us through tough times. And what she looked for was the positive side. And I don't know if you remember, but she said, instead of, you know, getting all depressed and despairing, she started to think about, well, I'll go later. I'll go on my travels when my beautiful children have grown up, when they're 18. I've got to wait 18 years. Now, did she spend those 18 years picking at her fingernails and lamenting all the lost opportunities and feeling jealous of all the people she knew that had the freedoms that she didn't? Or did she start thinking about what it might give her to travel after 18 years and how she would have more income, how she could travel in a different way, and actually how she did end up traveling for as long as she liked, for 30 whole years? Amazing. Wonderful. What a beautiful demonstration of looking at a situation and then saying, what am I not seeing? You know, we tend to focus on what is obvious to us. And sometimes we miss the chance to deeply reflect, as she did, on what might be in the background, in the shadow, in the behind. And how do we bring that forward? How do we bring that background, the less obvious advantages, into the foreground? I wonder, how many times have you had a terrible situation and you thought it was a terrible, not quite the end of the world, but it's been terrible, only later to work out that it was probably the best thing that could have happened to you because it shifted the direction of your life? Well, did you hear what Christine did? She was a business consultant. And how she found incredibly creative ways to work with business teams. And of course, once again, in the background, not only was her family in very close connection with the Māori Pā right back in 1840, not only did she grow up without any real sense of conflict or difference with her Māori mates and school and everything, but also her children came from a Māori father. So as she was managing them, there was this beautiful extended family that was able to, as it were, absorb the fact that dad was not available to be there. I don't know the story or the reasons behind that. But what we're talking about here is a beautiful connection and resource that she was able to connect with and lean on. So she was able, with the support of that extended family, to be able to earn a living and build her skill set. So, of course, when she did start traveling, the truth was she was carrying enormous wisdom and skills and abilities on that journey. And you heard in her session that she was teaching massage and her husband was making massage tables and they were connecting in all sorts of ways. And she worked that out when she was very young. She said, I'm going to be able to travel with more money. I'm going to make a better job of it. I'm going to enjoy it for longer. And you know, there's a lot more to that than just being positive, you know, in some kind of, I don't know, idiotic way. It actually takes quite a lot of reflection, thoughtfulness, peace and quiet to think about things. withdrawal from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. And sometimes we need to do that just to withdraw and reflect and journal, or just sit and listen to reflective music. Rather like that piece of music, we start with these reflections, Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, or sometimes I do the choral version. But what a strategy that is whenever we're feeling traumatized or stressed by what is going on, is to ask ourselves, what is the positive side of this? What is the background? Here in the foreground, I'm focusing on all the things I can't do or I can't have. But what if there was a real advantage to what is happening? And I've said before on my show, and I'll keep on saying it, with all the challenges that we are being faced with in these bizarre and torrid times that we're living through, and who knows, they could get worse, then with all of that, we're actually being invited to think, if all this wasn't going on, I wouldn't be challenged to grow and understand myself more. I wouldn't be connecting with the people I'm now connecting with. I wouldn't be finding the joy of a whole group of people across New Zealand who are willing to stand up and say no to the overreach of governments. I wouldn't be learning how to find resilience in my everyday life in the face of some really tough stuff that is going on. And so we turn it around and we turn it to our advantage. And while we're on the subject of being positive, one of the great ways to build our ability to find the silver lining in the cloud, if you like, the background that we bring into the foreground, one of the ways we do this is remove all those subliminal channels of negativity, and also avoid the people that continually try and drag us down into their negativity. People who, despite a good connection and a bit of human contact, still cannot resist the temptation of diving into those doom-laden rabbit holes. So we keep ourselves connecting with the people that feed us, that give us joy, that we can give joy to, who recognize what we have to give them just as much as who we enjoy receiving from. And there's an awful lot of research that has shown that we actually get enormous pleasure from seeing our love being received by another. When we give love to another, this is actually where most of the endorphin rush and the oxytocin and all the good things that happen, this is when it comes. So this is about being around people who can receive your joy, your positivity, your love, your support. Because when you're with people that are so stuck down the doom-laden rabbit holes of disaster, they simply do not seem to be able to receive the joy that you bring to this exchange, these transactions that you're having with them, these interactions, these human interactions. So not only should we avoid the people that are committed to the negativity, but at the same time, we also need to avoid all sources of subliminal negativity. And I think that just means throwing away the TV. I don't think there's any other way to say it. It also means being very selective of what films and material you watch for relaxation. I would suggest anything after 1980 is probably some kind of subliminal messaging. But there are great old films. The stuff they're churning out now is utter rubbish, and I think it's full of secret messages that we're not even able to notice. So, yes, I'm saying that this is what Christine was talking about as well, not watching TV and avoiding media and that thing that calls itself news, but is really just a bunch of, I don't know, badly trained idiots as far as I can see. So what's your diet of information? What's your entertainment? We have to be much, much smarter than we ever used to be. So, yes, and I think one of the great things has been the movement towards podcasts and choosing what you listen to. choosing who you listen to. Who do you find lifts you and gives you value? I hope that if you're listening to this program, you're doing it because you walk away feeling a little bit more lighter and a bit more lifted rather than doom-laden and heavy. So that's the first thing I want to take from Christine's wonderful interview. And just in case you need to shake out the cobwebs or the heaviness or the darkness of what we're talking about and all the importance of fighting against negativity, you just want to release and discharge a bit of energy or whatever. Seeing as we're talking about switching off the TV, I thought, let's have a listen to the amazing Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits and MTV. And that was the amazing Mark Knopfler playing MTV. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair. And my name is Jerry Pives, and I'm reflecting on a remarkable interview with Christine Carter. And we've been talking about a lot of interesting stuff, including a whole lot of stuff about the past and about family history, and also about the role of positivity and also protecting ourselves from negativity. And I wonder if you remember that lovely story about her saying, even the very ordinary can just open up opportunities for joy. And she talked about going into a vegetable shop and seeing a cauliflower. I'm laughing because it's such a beautiful picture. Find the joy in the cauliflower. Find the cauliflower that lifts your spirit. I mean, what a metaphor. It could be a T-shirt. Find your cauliflower, you know. Find a way to look at the world and what you're doing and see the unexpected and the unplanned for moments of joy. So don't go away, because I'm going to invite the wonderful Christine back into our third section of the show, which is music with meaning. But you know, to get us in the groove for our music, let's play the Doobie Brothers.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.